Are you ready? Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN. Your number, 713-780-3776. You can use that to text the show. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. Put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You got the number for that if you missed hour number one. Not a interesting stuff. Talked a little football. Talked a little basketball. Talked a little hockey. Got our hockey out of the way. So if you're interested in the hockey, second segment of the first hour on Podcast Arena. That's
how do you remember that?
I just try to make notes of things like that mentally, and then
I'm not good at that.
Well, you know, I've been a lot sharper this week since I haven't been drinking or smoking or doing anything.
Ah.
So I'm on top of my game.
Have you tried that? Have you been using that Alpha Brain? Have you gotten on any of that yet?
No.
Oh,
no.
I'm telling you,
no.
Game changer.
No, all I've been doing is just working out all week and not drinking. So I'm gonna try. Have a couple drinks tonight, probably, but I'm not gonna get stupid, and hopefully, see, this is my big test. Is like I know I don't never need to smoke again, but when you drink, sometimes.
Yeah, that's so, what I'm worried about.
Yeah,
too.
So I'm gonna have a couple drinks and not smoke.
Okay.
So people, it's funny.
Do you own cigarettes at this point?
I do not.
Okay.
No, I would not have them around me.
Okay. Make sure you don't have a lighter on you either.
I don't have a lighter either.
Okay.
Yeah, and actually, the funny part is I walked.
It's also good when you go to a party tonight. Dip your fingers in gasoline.
Yeah,
that way.
No, I use kerosene.
Okay,
it doesn't stink as much. I mean, you still stink, and you know, with kerosene, at least if you accidentally get too close to a candle or something, you can get it out a lot faster than you can gasoline, which is gonna, you know. Boom.
I'm just saying that way, if you accidentally, light a cigarette, then you'll burst into flames.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not going to burst into flames or light one. Like, I walked outside here where the smoking area is and almost threw up, and I'm like, yes, I got this. It makes me physically ill now. It's like marriage. It's very similar. It just makes you physically ill. Anyway, 713-780-ESPN. All right, I promise you this list, and I promise you the names that weren't on the list. This is Pro Football Focus's top 101 players. So we're going to go in reverse order, guys who weren't on the list, and you can say, all right, that's cool or not. We mentioned DeMarcus Ware.
Okay.
Gary Barnbridge of the Browns, tight end.
No.
Pretty good year, but not a top 101. Ryan Khalil, center of the Panthers.
Ooh. I mean, I don't know if he's one of the top three guys on his team.
No, but they had more than three of the best players in the
league.
Yeah,
Ryan Khalil, you could argue, I think he's one of the two or three best centers in the league.
Okay, Todd Gurley, we mentioned. Cordy Glenn of the Bills.
He's pretty good, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, again,
I'm not offended by not making the top 100 with him.
Navarro Bowman.
Same.
Marcus Peters, we talked about. Zeke Ansah.
Zeke Ansah's gotten to be, yeah, he's probably borderline, too.
Yeah,
all right. I have to make my own list.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you two guys who I don't think are borderline at all.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, that's just foolish.
I know. Here's what they say. But this is why I think, and I mentioned this the last hour, I don't trust their numbers because they're way more subjective than they like you to believe. There was just too much bad. He had three games that graded in the red and five passing performances that are in that distinction, which is three more than a year ago. His completion percentage dropped almost 5%. And as much as his receivers became a problem, he lost faith in them too, bailing on plays too early. All right.
So you're saying when the best quarterback in the league drops 3 to 5%.
Yeah, and remember last year he didn't throw an interception at Lambeau Field all year long 2 years ago. So his numbers are going to be off from that a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, 31 touchdowns plus, he made a few plays that you go, come on.
See, that's the thing about that website is everything's about numbers.
But sometimes you got to use common sense.
You got to use your eyeballs.
But those numbers are just somebody's interpretation.
Yeah,
that's the problem. That's why you can't just look at them and say, "Oh, well, his number is this, so therefore this." And also, on the list of guys who did not make the top 101, might have heard of this guy, too. Adrian Peterson.
Well, okay. I mean, if Adrian Peterson doesn't make the list and no other running back makes a list, I guess I can't argue with that.
Yeah, I'll have to go through and scroll and see if a running back made the list because I didn't check. I was just going to do the top 10 of them. I wasn't going to go through all 101 because I don't care. But Doug Martin did make the list at 38.
So. Oh, so Doug Martin's the 38th best player in football, but Adrian Peterson's not in the top 100.
Yeah. Would you like to hear their top 10?
I'd love to.
Okay. Tyrann Mathieu, Cardinals, number 10.
Man, for a guy who's looking for reasons to keep guys off the list, that's a guy who was hurt a lot last year.
Yeah, but he was amazing when he was out
man,
there.
Man, when he's on the field, he's so good. He's special.
Okay, here's a guy that I know you you have partial wood for, Julio Jones.
I'll co-sign on Julio. That guy's the man.
Cam Newton, number 8.
Hard to argue after last season.
How about Von Miller, number 7?
Another fantastic season.
Khalil Mack, number 6.
It might be high for me, but...
And this is based on last year.
Okay.
Solely on last year.
He was good last year, though.
Number 5, J.J. Watt.
Boy, that might be... It might be low, J.J. Watt, number 5. I hope there's no defensive play... Well, there's one defensive player I could see maybe being in the discussion. Maybe two.
Okay. There's two, actually. There's two ahead of him. Number 4, your Madden cover, Rob Gronkowski.
Gronk, okay. So you're saying two of the top three guys are defensive?
I am.
Can I guess who the top three are then?
You can guess. I'm going to bet you'll get two of three.
Okay. I'm going to go with Thomas Brady.
Incorrect. Now you're down to, you're going to get one right.
I'm going to go with Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald is correct.
And I'm going to go, I want to guess another guy, but I'm just going to go with my defensive guess because you've already told me that there were two of them, so that helps me out. So yeah. I'm going to go Luke Kuechly.
Luke Kuechly is third on the list.
Okay.
Aaron Donald is one on the list. Number two on the list, Antonio Brown.
Okay. You know how I feel. I like Antonio Brown. I'm not as crazy about Antonio Brown as some other people, mostly because he's just not my style of wide receiver. I prefer a larger body.
But from production and everything he does, yeah, he's pretty special.
The guy can ball. But is he the best offensive player in the league? I would say no.
There's a race going on over there that I think you just missed.
That I just missed?
No, Stanley, who works here, he brought me a couple tickets.
Yeah, he doesn't look like he just won.
I think it was close. There were about 8 horses within 2 inches of each other here at the finish, I think. I'm guessing one of those was not his. So, anyway, so there's your list. And, I don't want to give them too much run. It's just sometimes I think it does illustrate how you can get so far off with things. And, I mean, if anybody doesn't think Aaron Rodgers is one of the top 101 players in the league or had one of the best seasons last year. I mean, that's just, I'm sorry, that's crazy talk to me.
I can't even imagine putting together a top 10 players list without Aaron Rodgers on it.
And if you're just comparing it to the year before, why didn't J.J. Watt drop more? Because his year didn't compare to the one before either.
Did you have, Cam Newton was the only quarterback in the top 10, right?
Yeah, that is correct. I mean, I have the rest of them if you're interested. I just...
Are there any other Texans in the top 100?
Well, that's a good question because, like I said, I only did the top 10. Just some other interesting ones for people might like. Tyron Smith is 13 for the Cowboys.
That's fair.
Brady, 14.
Okay.
You got Carson Palmer right behind him at 15, considering the year he had.
Had a good season.
DeAndre Hopkins, number 18 on the list.
Okay.
So there's your second Texan.
Should that be the extent of Texans in the top 100 based on last year? I would say yes.
I would agree, but I suspect there might be one more.
I can't think of anyone else who you
Well, Merciless might have made it.
Okay.
That would be the other guy. But Odell Beckham is 37 on the list, and mentioned Doug Martin is 38th as your top running back. Earl Thomas, 39.
I do love Earl.
Yeah, I mean, he belongs. Jonathan Joseph, 42.
Okay.
Said he was only beaten for an average of 9.7 yards per reception, one of the few corners in the league to be under 10 yards in that regard, and 16 passes defensed. Said only Josh Norman and Jason Verrett had a higher coverage grade than he did.
All right.
So I thought he had a pretty good season.
I thought he was good. I wouldn't
put him in the top
100 in the league.
Well, top 50 is where he is.
Yeah.
So Zach Martin of the Cowboys, 54th.
No surprise.
No. How about this? Doug Baldwin of the Seahawks.
Man, Doug Baldwin put up some pretty good numbers last year.
But ahead of Calvin Johnson. No, Calvin Johnson did not put up.
He did not put up numbers last year.
Allen Robinson was 60th of your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, I think Jacksonville has the best wide receiving core in the AFC South. I think they're pretty solid at that spot.
But, you know, like some of the guys you were asking me, would I rather have than DeAndre Hopkins or him? Brandon Marshall, 64th on the list. That's another one.
Marshall had a fantastic season last year.
Emmanuel Sanders, 69. So plenty of running backs. I mean, plenty of receivers. Charles Woodson, who now retired, 71.
Well, they retire on top.
This might be the highest Colt on the list. Jarrell Freeman, 73, and he's not with them anymore.
Yeah, they weren't very good last year.
No, luck was out. Drew Brees, 78th. Tyler Eifert, 80th. Jarrell Casey, who I thought was a really good player for the Titans. I know they suck, but that guy, 81st.
Okay.
Seems low to me. And, okay, I don't know if this counts as a Texan. Lamar Miller was 85th on the list.
Okay.
So you'll have a top 100 running back. So that's it for your tight. Oh, wait, no, I was wrong. Number 96, Whitney Mercilus. Had the sixth highest pass rushing productivity for 3-4 outside linebackers. And he was ahead of Thomas Davis of the Panthers. Interesting. So four Texans.
Four Texans.
Yeah.
Good for them.
All right, so does that make you happy to know your Texans are well represented?
Yes, it makes me thrilled.
Makes your day, right?
It makes my whole day.
Anyway,
so excited.
Okay, so there's your list. If you want to check it out, you can go to Pro Football Focus and just keep in mind, though, it's like anything where they try to say it's all analytics. It's interpretation.
Jerron says, I can't believe AJ doesn't think Antonio's the best offensive player. The numbers and eye test speaks. I mean, I think there's an argument to be made. I think that I'd prefer first of all, I'd prefer Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers to him. Any day of the week, I'd rather have a great quarterback than a great receiver. But I think I'd also prefer Julio Jones or Gronk over Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I mean, I think for so much of its system, I think Antonio Brown is used perfectly by the Steelers.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
Well, Antonio Brown also, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger's a better player than almost every top receiver in the league has.
Yeah, even Matt Ryan, I mean,
yeah,
for that matter.
Like, if you go through the top 5 or 10 receivers in the league, most of them don't have great quarterbacks.
No.
Antonio Brown's the one that does, has a fantastic quarterback.
Nick says, Aaron Donald better than J.J. Watt?
Aaron Donald's a beast, man.
He is a beast.
Before you clown on that, just watch that guy's tape.
And not only that, I mean,
I'm not saying he's better than J.J., but I'm just saying you can make an argument.
Well, I do think people kind of get caught up in the, well, let's find somebody who's better than J.J. thing. But, man, if you're going to pick somebody, that's the guy. He had an amazing year. And I think with 3 or 4 games left in the season, it was still up in the air as to who was actually going to be Defensive Player of the Year out of those two. And Kuechly obviously was in the mix along with Josh Norman. But Aaron Donald was very much in that conversation until late in the season. He tailed off just a little bit. So I don't think it's ridiculous at all. I mean, I know it's one of those that Texans fans are going to look at and say, oh, but realistically –
What, and here's what I'll also put an asterisk next to is, while I say right now you could make an argument for Aaron Donald being as good as J.J. or in the conversation of being even close to J.J., I still think J.J. is the best defensive player in football.
But, yeah, yeah.
But if you'd asked me that 2 years ago, I would have said Ndamukong Suh is right on his heels.
Right.
And he's not, and J.J.'s still doing what J.J. does. So there's guys who are coming up and getting close and then falling back. J.J. has consistently been dominant, and that's why I think he's the best. And if Aaron Donald can do what he's done for the next 3 or 4 years, then maybe we're in a different discussion.
All right. Tell people about Window World.
Window World. Fred, do you like paying a high energy bill?
I love paying a high energy bill.
I don't. I don't. And I know our on-site producer, who shall not be named, hates paying high bills because he's still got a bunch of student loans he's got to pay off. He can't even have cable. He can't afford HBO. He can't afford to be letting money flow out the windows. That's where Window World comes in. And if your home has aluminum or wooden windows with regular glass, you're letting money fly out the window, guys. You need to check out Window World. the energy-efficient replacement windows that they've got at Window World. Double-hung, double-pane windows from Window World offer American-made premium quality with a transferable lifetime warranty that includes glass breakage, which will increase the value of your home. Installation usually takes just about a day for the average home, and financing is available. You get those windows for about $189 a window. It's hard to beat that. Call Window World today for a free estimate, 713-439-1172. The summer's coming up, man. You're about to let that money start flying out the window. Don't do it. Call Window World or check them out online, windowworldhouston.com. That's 713-439-1172. Window World, simply the best for less.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on The Blitz. So apparently, if you're south of Houston, there's like purple on the Doppler. Like that dark purple.
This just came out of nowhere, man.
Yeah, no kidding. Because everybody's asking, how are you guys doing a show in this stuff? Well, it's fine up here.
Yeah, we're inside, first of all.
Yeah, but we're also up north, and I'm looking at the Doppler. There's nothing up here. So it is kind of moving sort of this direction.
It's moving all over the place. You can't
tell. Yeah, it really is hard to tell. You know, this. I don't think we're getting a good, you know, well, I think it's kind of swirling is what I think. But maybe I should zoom out the state. Sometimes that helps. You get a better sense of the direction. It looks like this just formed off the coast and started nuking on us.
That sucks.
Yeah, so if you're in an area where, you know, it's bad, then, you know, make sure you stay inside. No reason to go anywhere. Just actually, I can see the sun out there here.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, so
I got to drive down to South Houston after the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, that's not good. I got to drive back downtown.
I got to drive the Legacy show tonight down at Arena Theater. Our boy Cody Owens is fighting. He's defending his title tonight. So
all right, best
of luck
dead,
to Cody, one of our fine listeners.
Yeah, and it was really cool. He got a call from Dana White about a month ago that he posted on Facebook. That was so he's on their radar, which would be great. So hopefully he kicks some ass. Yeah, somebody says, yeah, Friendswood, lots of hail. Marble-sized hail in Friendswood.
Lamont said testicle-sized hail, which, I mean, depending on whose testicles.
Yeah, like if you've had surgery on them, then that's pretty big, and if not, 832 said, just got to my vehicle wondering how the calls have been so far today. Well, we haven't really taken any because
We're not taking calls. We're on the road.
Yeah, we're on location. So Dustin says people are crawling on 288. Looks like they're really driving into the apocalypse.
Nice.
And Paulo says hailing in Pearland, so.
All right.
So I got the report from downtown. Apparently there's thunder, but it's not raining down there yet.
Well, it's decent up here.
If it just wants to stay south of downtown, that's fine because, you know, Beltway 8, 288. Wow. Okay, so if you guys are stuck in that, you know what I highly recommend? Just go find a place to sit and drink until it goes away.
It's not a bad call.
Yeah, you don't want to be out in that stuff. Jose asking, what time is the first race? 7 o'clock tonight. So come on out. Lots of good quarter horse racing. And for people asking, I think the 4th, 8th, and 9th race tonight are the ones that I like the best and will be investing in myself. So if you're out and using my picks, those are the three. All right, 713-780-ESPN. So is it unfair of me to pull that list out and give them credit when I think some of it is just because of the names they didn't put on there as opposed to the names they did? I mean, I was sort of shocked that those two guys weren't on there. So when I went back and looked at it, it's like the top 10 makes sense. Some of the other ones make sense. So was it? I'm just asking.
I mean,
general.
It's a list that.
I mean,
some dude made, and if I made a list, it would be different. If you made a list, it would be different.
Well, they were trying to theoretically do it based on their scores for the year.
And there would be people on my list that some people would think was crazy. And there'd be names on your list that probably I would think was crazy. And that's just the way it is. I mean, everybody's entitled to an opinion. They think that Whitney Merciless is a better football player than Aaron Rodgers. And
based on that.
And if that's if
well,
that's
not
how,
just Whitney Merciless. There were several other guys on there. I know we're kind of, you know. But anyway, I was just curious. Hey, you're familiar with this new Space Jam that's being made, right?
I've heard of such a thing.
Guess who is against it? The original Space Jam director. He said Joe Pitka, who directed the original Space Jam, told the Hollywood Reporter he does not think they're the kinds of basketball stars and personalities who will have the same appeal Michael Jordan had. Don't do it. It's doomed. Michael Jordan was the biggest star on the planet. I mean, I think LeBron's a pretty big name, too. But
I don't know that he's as big of a star as Michael Jordan was.
But he says, in Pitka's eyes, it's not even solely about the star. The athletes and the supporting cast are also critical. When we did Space Jam, there was a perfect storm of players and ex-players available. Larry Bird, Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing. They all had a persona that complemented the film. There are none around like that now. I don't know if that's fair. You don't think there wouldn't be a cool character for Dirk? Like a, you know,
could be a Dirk character. I don't know if Dirk...
Like an evil, you know, but not, no offense to you German guys.
I don't know
like
if Dirk warrants a post at this point, well, or if he warrants a character.
Muggsy Bogues had one in the original.
That's true. Like who?
Sean Bradley.
Oh, there shouldn't be a Sean Bradley character.
Well, there could be a character for Steph Curry and his whole daughter thing. That could be part
okay.
of it.
Okay.
Here's the bigger
it
question.
It could be a Kevin Durant character.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of stars in the NBA. There could be a Damian Lillard character. There could be a – I don't know. There's plenty of guys. It could be an Anthony Davis character. Could be a bad guy with those eyebrows.
The unibrow.
Yeah.
It's an eyebrow. Singular.
Yeah.
So my bigger concern about Space Jam 2, how many kids actually still know what Looney Tunes are? Do they still watch that?
I don't think so. I mean, my kids don't watch that.
Okay, so your kids wouldn't even know who Bugs Bunny is.
I feel like the older one would because, I mean, we're talking about he's almost 9 years old. He's been around long enough that I'm sure at some point he's seen Bugs Bunny. But my little one's four. He wouldn't know who Bugs Bunny is. And when I was four, I definitely knew who Bugs Bunny was.
So he certainly wouldn't know who cross-dressing Bugs Bunny was and whether or not Bugs Bunny was more attractive as a female than as a male.
No.
Okay.
Definitely.
Because I do think that should be part of Space Jam 2.
Are you wearing your new Tyrion shirt?
I am wearing my new Tyrion shirt, yes.
Damn, I'm so jealous
Isn't that
of
pretty
that
awesome?
Shirt.
Although, I don't want to bag out our interns, but one of them asked me, is that Charles Manson on your shirt?
One of the promo girls?
Yes. Promo girl asked if I was Charles Manson. And I'm sorry. If you don't know who Tyrion Lannister is, it's cool. But... And see, and this is for the little people out there, okay? All the little people that hated me because of your old nickname. I am wearing Peter Dinklage's face on my shirt.
That's true.
I am wearing Tyrion Lannister. And if you're curious, it says, I drink and I know things.
Which I like
was
that.
The great line from 2 weeks ago. I saw that shirt on Barstool Sports and had to buy it. So it came in. That's what I'm wearing today. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. We come back, R.J. Bell. By the way, 832 says, my 6 and 2-year-old love the Looney Tunes. I sat them down to give them better stuff to watch, and they fell in love. I'm wondering how many people have actually done that, though. Anyway. All right, we'll be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz, live here at Sam Houston Race Park. Final weekend of quarter horse racing, so you can get out here and get your gamble on. And, of course, if you want to gamble on anything, there's no one better to talk to than the genius that is R.J. Bell, pregame.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at R.J. in Vegas. Mr. Bell, how are you, sir?
Hey, guys, I'm going to hijack the segment here, at least at the beginning, if you don't mind. I want to talk
Go for
about
it.
Hijack
this
away.
This is your segment.
Yeah, this is all about you. We're just here to help.
I want to talk about Andrew Luck because we've had about a two-year debate, and I've been the skeptical Andrew Luck guy. You guys have been, I don't know, fanboys? Would that be the right way to say it?
I'm a fanboy. I think Fred is maybe
– I'm more neutral.
He's more in between.
Yeah, I'm somewhere in between where you are and where he is. So.
And it's I was going to bring it up last week, but there was so much going on. Is, you know, NFL.com had the players vote or whatever – and what did he end up, the 96th or something best player in the league? You guys see that?
Well, we were just going through that list. I didn't even know he made it on that list last year.
No, this is what we were going through Pro Football Focus's list. So
yeah, so I mean, so I guess
based
my question
on the season he had last year,
are you guys in the same place or are you coming around?
Listen, what I will say is this last season was the first season that he didn't look like he was improving. And I still think he was hurt most of the season. I think even the parts where he was playing, I don't think he was playing healthy because he just didn't look like the same player. I'm not going to let one bad season matched up against four good seasons suddenly make me think that he's not a good player.
But, I mean, right now, if you're drafting for one season, because the youth is, when you talk about starting a franchise, you've got to balance youth and all that stuff. But right now, if you're drafting for this year at quarterback, where does Andrew Luck line up?
He probably lines up behind Tom Brady. He lines up behind Aaron Rodgers.
Wait,
for sure.
Probably behind Tom Brady?
Well, definitely.
Okay.
Those two guys I'm certain about. I don't know if there's anybody else that I would say is a slam dunk going to have a better season than Andrew Luck this year.
So you'd rather have Andrew Luck than Big Ben right now for 1 year?
I don't know. If you're telling me on a team, if I could put Andrew Luck on the Steelers roster, would I rather have Andrew Luck than Ben Roethlisberger? I'd probably take Andrew Luck, yeah.
Really? Wow. Wow. So yeah. You guys haven't come around at all.
No. Stop you guys. Stop you guys. I would take Big Ben over Luck. Yes. And I would take Cam Newton, but that's about as far as I would go.
But how about this, RJ? If you were taking a quarterback that's going to be this is your franchise guy for the next 8 years, how many quarterbacks would you take before you took Andrew Luck?
Which brings up another big point, which is a couple years ago, you know, Luck's rookie year, let's say RG3 had an amazing – people forget. I mean, it was an amazing rookie year. It wasn't a good rookie year. I think his interception – I'm just going by memory. It was like 18 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I mean, great year.
Good.
Is the sense was, oh, look, college has gone to the spread. Everyone's passing in spring ball in high school. The receivers are catching all year round. Man, oh, man, it's going to be the best generation of quarterbacks ever. And I make the case now, if you think 3, 4, 5 years out, when, you know, Brady is retired, Big Ben retired, Eli retired, and you know, a couple of others, and Rodgers, you know, either retired or at the end of his career and slowed down, the question is, unless someone emerges right now, and I'm a Russell Wilson skeptic myself, I don't think Wilson's an elite quarterback, you really got to say, where's the elite quarterbacks going to be?
That's a good question, and I think that you've seen glimpses of certain guys. I think, I mean, if Cam Newton continues to do what he did last year, he's unquestionably a quarterback of the future, but a lot of these guys have been inconsistent since they've been in the league, including Cam. Cam had some rough years himself. Andrew Luck, I would say until last year, you would have felt more than confident saying that this guy is the future of the position. He had a pretty bad year last year, but the year before when he threw for 40 touchdowns and 4,700 yards, nobody was really thinking that. He just had a down season, and now everyone he's one of those guys that I think everyone is kind of hoping will fail because there was a lot of hype around him and things like that, and he's kind of a goofball.
Which I think go ahead.
But I'm just not willing to throw three seasons where he took what's essentially a bad football team to the playoffs 3 seasons in a row. I'm not going to throw that out the window because he got hurt and looked bad last year.
So let's talk about, though, I think the narrative that you touched upon a few minutes ago, which was, well, this was the first year he didn't seem to improve. So it seemed like it wasn't so much what he was doing on the field, because on one hand, we can wave our hands and talk about, oh, the Colts weren't a very good team, and look what he's done, you know, to get them to the playoffs. On the other hand, we measure quarterbacks by statistics. I mean, in this day and age, it's about sabermetrics. If someone says, oh, my eye test tells me so-and-so is very good, like all the educated math guys will scoff. It's like, well, your eye test don't matter. It's what the numbers say. Well, the numbers for Andrew Luck have not been good. I mean, if you look at the QBR from the ESPN side or the old school passer rating, not great. I mean, you know, far from great a couple of those years.
RJ, last a year in 2014, he threw 40 touchdowns. He threw more touchdowns than every other quarterback in the league. Touchdowns win football games way more than QBRs do.
So were you a huge Dan Fouts fan?
Like, no, I was not. But I'm not really old enough to have watched Dan Fouts in his prime.
Yeah, Dan Fouts was a great thrower, but no one was thinking, oh, he was one of the best quarterbacks of all time. So I guess to me, counting stats, and now we're getting a little sabermetrics, I was just kind of scoffing at it because I'm kind of in the middle with it. I think you can't measure everything with math, but if you feel good about what you can measure with it, you should take it seriously. But to me, counting stats are always dangerous because it's all about how many times do you throw from the three-yard line. It's all about how many times you throw. And to me, it's about your efficiency throwing, which I think everyone would agree with. So it's hard to say, no, it's with the counting stats that matter, not the efficiency, right? But I guess my quick point to, kind of wrap the topic, if you guys want, is the idea that the narrative that here's the next guy, the one guy that got a 99 from Scouts Inc. and the future and the best quarterback since John Elway coming out of college and all that, and it feels like we kind of fit the narrative to or what we see to that narrative. We fit it. And I would make the point if he was drafted in the second round and it'd play the way he played, there'd be a lot of talk about, man, a lot of good counting stats, haven't done much in the playoffs, and, I guess we'll see. But the fact that he was number one.
RJ, you know how many teams, if they drafted a quarterback in the second round after they went 2-14, and then the next three seasons they went 11-5. You know how many teams would be thrilled at that? Every team in the NFL.
So the question becomes,
even more than counting stats and things like that, going from two wins one season to the next three seasons winning 11 games, that's the most important thing you can do. And I think if you've watched the Colts over the last 4 years, you see that they go where Andrew Luck takes them because there's nobody else on that team that's worth a damn.
Then I guess my question is how, and let's just pose this question in a vacuum. How can you give a quarterback credit for wins and dismiss the rest of the team when the quarterback stats aren't that good? Or is it the narrative again? Is, hey, he was the number one pick. It must be about him as the quarterback. Because the stats don't back it up. I mean, and again, we might say QBR doesn't matter. Then it's like, okay, what does matter? And now the question becomes,
if you're a 62% passer and you throw 40 touchdowns, to me that's good stats.
Well, but that's like the back of a football card type analysis, right? I mean, there's a whole formula with QBR, there's a whole formula with passer rating. And if you look at it, and again, maybe next week we can, just touch on it real quick, is I'll pull it up right and we can talk about it. But if you look at his league ranking over his career, it certainly doesn't put him in the top tier of quarterbacks.
Let me jump in here for a second because there's one thing here that I think is getting ignored. And we used to talk about this when we would talk about the Colts and how they would the yards that they got did not match their record. I think, and this is a stat you would have to go find, Andrew Luck in the fourth quarter of games, what is his quarterback rating there? What is his rating in crunch time because of the comeback victories? Because he's had a lot of games where he was garbage for three quarters and then was amazing in the fourth. And I think that's where you're going to see the discrepancy between the stats that you have and the win-loss record.
I would like to see. Do you believe in clutch? Because a majority of sabermetrics guys, the advanced stats guys, don't believe there's any such thing as clutch. They think that it's just randomness, just like flipping a coin. And there's going to be certain guys that go 4-0 in a Super Bowl, And we as humans, again, with the narrative, want to believe, oh, no, it's Joe Cool. It's Joe Montana or Bradshaw, even though he was, a slightly above average quarterback. And I'm a Steeler fan throughout most of his career. It was that pass, in Super Bowl 14, on 3rd and 12, that's when he really decided to step up. I mean, is it that, or is there a huge amount of luck involved with clutch? So if I say this quarterback is clutch, do you think that's legitimate?
Yeah, I think Joe Flacco's a clutch quarterback. I think when you look at his playoff numbers and look at him compared to his regular seasons, I'd say he's a guy who is better when the lights are on. And on the other side, I'd say there's plenty of quarterbacks who are plenty of players of any sport in general who seem to shrink when it's the big moments. And we've had, here in Houston, James Harden has put up crazy numbers all regular season the last 2 years and has done nothing in the playoffs when it's really mattered. I don't think that stuff like that is coincidence or a coin flip by any stretch. I think that some people perform better under high-pressure situations than others.
If I told you quarterback XYZ plays a lot better when the good wife is in repeat and isn't an original episode in the last 5 years, and I had all the stats and showed it to you, would you think, oh, he's not distracted because he's thinking what's going to happen on The Good Wife? Or would you say that's
luck? But, RJ,
isn't there the same amount of chance, though, that there's going to be that same randomness when it comes to these are playoff games and these aren't playoff games?
But what you're handing me are like, that's like, you can say that from a booger eater mathematician standpoint, but from a sports guy standpoint, you have to understand that when the Orlando Magic were gonna when they were gonna go to the NBA Finals, Nick Anderson missed those four free throws in a row. A guy who is, you know, over his career an 88% free throw shooter. That's not by coincidence that that happened in that moment.
You know, I tend to agree with you. I mean, I've, you know, competed in the ways I know this. When I'm playing a poker hand, for example, and there's $6,000 in the middle of the pot, and I've got a decision.
You play differently.
It's a different physiological experience than if there's $60 in the middle of the pot. So I agree, but I also think it's important in Houston, I think most notably with the whole, you know, the Rockets and the Sabermetrics and Barkley and all that stuff, is if you dig into the math, guys, they do not believe in clutch. I agree with you. I think that is not correct. But I think as much as no one wants to sound dumb and say, oh, I don't really necessarily, you know, Barkley's willing to necessarily not sound educated because he's very confident in his opinion, and I really respect that. I don't always agree with him, but I respect it. But not many people want to say I don't trust sabermetrics. But the reality is there's a lot of skepticism amongst the math guys about clutch, and I tend to agree in that case that they're wrong. But let's remember, if we're going to lean on the math guys a bunch, we got to understand what they really are saying.
Well, and that kind of gets back to something we were talking about earlier with Pro Football Focus's list is like, yes, there are numbers, but they're numbers interpreted by human beings, and so they're still subjective, even though you're going through and assigning a grade to them. But I would say, to your point, though, to prove the clutch thing, I think fourth quarter numbers versus first quarter numbers do mean something because you have been out there long enough to see what the defense is doing. You've adjusted to it, and part of that clutch thing is coming through because you know what the defense is going to do now in the fourth quarter. And I do think there are quarterbacks, Tony Romo being one of them, whose numbers are significantly better in the fourth quarter, whether that's clutch or whether that's making adjustments. I do think that's a factor, and I do think that's something that makes Andrew Luck, his team win games.
Well, and Luck's numbers last year, first quarter numbers, he was a 42.2% pass or 42.2 rating, one touchdown, four picks in the fourth quarters last year, or in the first quarters. In the fourth quarters, nine touchdowns, three picks, 96.6 rating. He is a guy who comes up when it matters.
Yeah, but then there's another point, which is
I mean, it's a matter of what you want to it's a matter of balancing eye test with common sense with numbers. I get that. I'm a believer in if you're a quarterback on an otherwise bad team and you're winning way more than you're losing, I tend to give you some pretty good credit for that.
Yeah, I guess the question becomes that assessment of the otherwise bad team, because it would seem last year.
Do you think
year
the Colts are a good team?
I never thought the Colts were a particularly good team, but I also believe winning those close games had a lot more, no pun intended, luck than Andrew Luck being the driver of it myself. But you guys, just backing up 1 second, because I think it's a great point that I want to shine a light on. If there's a fundamental difference in a certain situation, so fourth quarter is you had the post-halftime adjustments, there's the fatigue factor. Also, oftentimes, if you're playing from behind, you got to throw. I think Andrew Luck, if he's got to throw, is an elite quarterback. The question is that the kind of, you know, how valuable is that relative to a guy that can play, you know, better when it's a tight game or you're playing from the front? But I agree. Fourth quarter is different than first quarter. And I would make the case in the NBA. The NBA game is different during the playoffs with the physicality, with the way the ref's calling it, with the inter-series adjustments, than the regular season where it's back-to-backs and travel and a lot of other and motivational factors. That's why here in Vegas, one of the best approaches to handicapping the playoffs is find the teams that have maxed out efficiency in the regular season. The Hawks are a team that's done that recently. Also, the Spurs are a team that's done that. And they don't have that other gear when it comes playoff time. Oftentimes, the teams that are hit or miss during the regular season, like OKC, are the dangerous playoff teams. Now, a team like Houston, you can make the case, was hit or miss during the regular season, and for whatever reason, were demotivated, it seemed. And I'm not sure that's the right word for it, but not extra motivated as the opponent was in the playoffs. So I agree. It's one thing to be clutch if it's the ninth inning and there's nothing different than the stakes seem to be higher in a baseball game versus, but then you could say, well, in that case, it's about facing a closer versus facing a starter. So again, this is not, there's no easy answer to this, but what I'll say is we'll have a fun time this year, this football season, as I'm poo-pooing Andrew Luck. When it's legitimate, let's say that.
All right, RJ, great stuff, my friend. A lot of stuff that we'll get to next week.
Andrew Luck got an uphill climb with RJ. This dude won 33 games his first three seasons, and RJ's like, I don't know.
I love it. I love it.
And listen, the six pages of notes I sent you guys, don't worry about those.
We'll use those at different times.
Yeah, we never need those anyhow. We always just go where it goes, right?
RJ,
thanks so much, my friend.
Thanks,
we'll talk to you next week. All right, that's RJ Bell. All right, so we went over there.
My bad.
No, it
wasn't my bad.
No, it was kind of a team bad there.
Yeah, it's our bad.
All three of us are responsible. And by all three of us, I don't mean you, John. I mean RJ. So that's all right. We were having fun with it. We're going to take a very quick break.
I'm still pretty sure I'm right on that, though.
I'm kind of in the middle. I don't think you're as right as you think you are, and I
think now there's room to question what Andrew Luck is.
Yes,
for sure,
there
because
is.
Of what he did last season.
Yeah, I don't think he's the slam dunk you think he is. I don't think he's the overrated guy that RJ thinks he is. I think he's
somewhere in the middle.
He's somewhere in the middle, and with the potential to be. I don't think the potential is there for him to be a trash heap. I think the potential for him to be what you say is still there.
I think putting him in the same discussion as RG3 is borderline offensive. But that's just me.
All right. We are going to take a very quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. It's a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Don't miss the last weekend of live racing at Sam Houston Race Park. We'll broadcast live until 7. It's Food Truck Friday and 50-cent beer night from 6 to 9. Saturday, the Bud Light stage welcomes Roger Krager. Admission is free with $7 live racing admission before 8 and $20 after 9. Or get your tickets online for $14. Don't miss Food Truck Friday and Roger Krager back at Sam Houston Race Park. And I was checking out the food trucks out there. There are some good ones. So
Shocker.
Churrasco's out there and Waffle Bus is out there. There's just a great choice. So come on out. All right, let's do a very quick Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, I told you I stopped smoking this week. I haven't stopped drinking because I don't intend to, but you know what? Are you familiar with Richard Overton of Austin, Texas? You should probably know him.
I don't know him.
He turned 110 years old.
Ooh.
This week. And guess how he celebrated his 110th birthday party?
Hookers.
Plenty of whiskey and cigars.
Nice. Even better.
Yeah, he says, I feel like I'm 50. He was born in 1906, served in World War II, and served as a corporal in Hawaii, Guam, and Iwo Jima. And he's lived in Austin, and he's a beloved part of the community. So I'm surprised you don't know him. But
I don't know him, no.
110 years. He says he's cut back on the whiskey, but he attributes his long life to lots of whiskey and cigars.
Good for him.
So congratulations, and that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day. any.
The gym of the day.
Now.
It's the gym of the day. The Sanok Jeweler gym of the day.
Is that my fault? Did I jump back into that too quickly? Was that on me? I kind of thought I transitioned that well. I sort of plotted that out.
Is it just me, or is it kind of cold-blooded to pull McCullers off the DL and have him pitch his first start at Fenway against the Red Sox?
Like he's going to be worse than the Fisters of the world they've been throwing out there.
It just seems like I feel like they should have waited till he had a decent matchup.
Throw him out there. He's ready. He's ready.
All right.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. We got another hour to go out here at Sam Houston Race Park. 50 Cent Beer is a minute away, so if you're here, you might as well get your 50 Cent Beer. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.